శ్రీహరి కృష్ణ గోపు గౌడ స్వామి
ఓం
నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నమస్తే సరస్వత దేవ గౌరవాణి ప్రసారణే నమస్తే పాశ్వాతరే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నుంచి నంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధారణ శ్రీ భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరే హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరే శ్రీ విష్ణు బాబు ప్రాయణ మహాజనో యూజమాన వేద చరిదాం మహాజనోయం దేవ్యా విమోహినమతిభక్త మాయయాలం శ్రాయం జరి కృతమాతిర్మధు పుష్టాయాం మాజ్ఞానికే మహతి కర్మణి యూజమాన
మధుపుష్టికాయే
మహతి కర్మని యుజ్యమాన
Jadikritamati, whose intelligence had been dulled. Madhu Pushtayam, in the flowery Vedic language. Vaikanike, in the performance mentioned in the Vedas. Mahati, very great. Karmani, fruit of activities. Yujamanaha, being engaged. Translation, because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of Supreme Personality of God, that Yajnavalkya and Jaimini and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret confidential religious system of the Mahajanas. They cannot understand the transcendental value of devotional service and the Hare Krishna mantra, because their minds are attracted by the rituals and ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Atharvaveda, Samaveda, and Rig Veda. Their intelligence has become dull. Thus, they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation, struggle, hope for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Purport, since one may easily achieve the highest success by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one may ask why there are so many Vedic rituals and ceremonies for my people are attracted to them. This person answers that question as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vedashya Sarvairaham Deva Vedya. The real purpose of studying the Vedas is to approach the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Unfortunately, unintelligent people bewildered by the grandeur of Vedic yajnas want to see gorgeous sacrifices performed. They want Vedic mantras chanted, huge amounts of money spent, so ceremonies. Sometimes we have to observe Vedic rituals and ceremonies that please such unintelligent men. Recently, when we established a large Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we were obliged to have Vedic ceremonies enacted by Brahmanas because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the Smarta Brahmanas, would not accept Europeans and Americans as modified Brahmanas. Thus, we had to engage Brahmanas to perform possibly yajnas. In spite of these yajnas, the members of our society perform Sankirtan Lada in Vrindavan's night. Consider the Sankirtan more important than Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Both the ceremonies and Sankirtan were going on simultaneously. The ceremonies were meant for persons interested in Vedic rituals for elevation of heavenly planets, whereas the Sankirtan was meant for pure devotees interested in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We would simply have performed Sankirtan, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavan would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously. As explained here, the Vedic performances are meant for those whose intelligence has been dulled by the flowery language of the Vedas, which describe fruitive activities and tend to elevate one to the higher planets. Especially in this age of Kali, Sankirtan alone is sufficient. If the members of our temples in different parts of the world simply continue Sankirtan over the deity, especially for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will remain perfect. There's no need of any other performances. Nevertheless, to keep oneself clean in habits and mind, deity worship and other regulated principles are required. So the Jiva Goswami says that although Sankirtan is sufficient for the perfection of right arshana, worship of the deity in the temple must continue in order that the devotee may stay clean and pure. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura therefore recommends that one should follow both processes simultaneously. Follows his form of deity worship and Sankirtan along parallel lines as we should continue. Translation, because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of God, and Yajnavalkya and other compilers of religious scriptures cannot know the secret confidential religious system of the Mahajanas. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service to the Hare Krishna mantra because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Ayurveda, Samaveda, and Rig Veda. Their intelligence has become dull. Thus, they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation, struggle for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So though this is a glorification of the holy name, this section, here we find a verse in which by negating other processes, again, the glorification of the name is increased. So by indicating the foolishness of other people who are attracted to the rituals of the Vedas, that is Karma Yoga, then the significance of the name is increased.
increased. So as we hear from Bhagavad Gita also, the Vedas largely speak of rituals and sacrifices and elevation to heavenly planets, etc. And it is also condemned there in Bhagavad Gita. Just as it says here, the Mohadamati, they are bewildered in their intelligence. So this is one portion of the Vedas, and of course it says again that the Vedas are like the flowery words are there. Sometimes we have very poisonous plants, but they have very nice flowers. So this is like the plant with poisonous poison in it, with nice flowers. So we have the words of the Vedas, which are very nice, etc., but ultimately poison because they lead us again to birth in the material world. So the Vedas do this. But at the same time, we should not condemn the Vedas, one, because this process of karma yoga is meant for inferior people who are lower in intelligence and good fortune. They must practice something, so let them practice karma yoga. And the other point is that the Vedas not only speak of karma yoga, they also speak of jnana and bhakti and yoga, etc. So we cannot condemn the whole Vedas, but we condemn those portions which are followed by people for materialistic ends. And instead of that, we should go for the spiritual part. So we cannot condemn the Vedas as such, but certain portions certainly are inferior. Right. And therefore these people are called foolish or the Mohita Mati. I'm bewildered by the Maya of the Lord. But we cannot condemn the Vedas because we know that Sruti Shastra Ninda is one of the offenses. We cannot criticize the Vedas at the same time, but we have to understand that certain portions speak for people of inferior nature. And other portions are there also. So that portion of the Vedas which deals with material gain, that is the part which is condemned. Unfortunately, people get attracted to these things because they want material gain. So they may become attracted to these things. In contrast to this, we have the process of the name, or chanting the name of the Lord, which is the topic here. And the name actually can accomplish whatever this process can accomplish, but that is not the real goal. The ultimate limit of this is that it can give you material gains. That is karma yoga. Chanting the name can also give you that. So whatever you want in karma yoga, you can get from chanting the name. Whatever you want in jnana yoga, liberation, you can get that from the name. If you want the liberation of cities from Astanga, you can get that from the name also. So the name is Chintamani. It is whatever you want, you get from the name. But the devotees don't want any of that. They just want bhakti. They want prema. So these are all secondary results that bhakti and the name give. And they are considered insignificant and not desired by the devotees, the real devotees. So, one who is intelligent and not bewildered, he will strive for the highest goal described in the Vedas and in the Bhagavatam and other literatures, which is prema. And because of that, he will reject all of these other distractions, which are obstacles for him. That is the point of Bhagavatam and the Vaishnava scriptures. What the Vedas describe is many, many facets. There are karma yoga statements, sections on jnana, etc. So the Vaishnava scriptures, and especially the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they will clearly define what is the highest goal of all. So from Bhagavad Gita, we understand Sarva Dhamma Parijitam Adhikam Sarva. Bhakti is the highest process.
and in Bhagavatam also. The first canto shows that the ultimate purpose is simply to worship Krishna, nothing else, and all the other processes are called chitti dharmas. So, therefore, this is the final conclusion of the Vedas. So though people will say, well, the Vedas talk about karma. Yes, they talk about karma, they talk about jnana and yoga and bhakti. And Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are also, in one sense, of the same authority. Because Bhagavad Gita comes from Mahabharata. Mahabharata was written to explain the meaning of the Vedas to the common people in Kali Yuga. Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Veda Vyas, or rewritten, after Narada told them that all this discussion of going or worshipping according to gunas, etc., is useless in Kali Yuga. You simply tell them to do bhakti to the Lord and chant his name. So the Bhagavatam is a summary of that. So the Puranas also, like the Mahabharata, were written as a commentary on the Vedas, that is, to explain to the people of Kali Yuga the real meaning of the Vedas. And of all the Puranas, the Bhagavatam is the final summary of all that. So again, we find rejection of everything else and only the process of bhakti. So that is represented here also, just as Krishna says of the Karma Yoga, we have to rise above the gunas, etc. So here also, in this verse, the statement is, let us reject the statements that talk about Karma Yoga. This is a distraction. We shouldn't be involved in this. And of course, though one section deals with jnana and liberation, even that is rejected. So artha, dharma, kama, and moksha are all rejected by the devotees. And only bhakti remains. So that is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. So here in this chapter, we have a glorification of the name. Chanting the name is part of the bhakti yoga process. And it is glorified here because even if you're not really doing bhakti, it still works. Of course, we'll see that in other processes also, like deity worship. A rat saw the wick of the thing and he nibbled on the ghee wick, and it happened to burst into flames when he did it, and it lit up the deity. So that was like an arti of the Lord. So therefore, the rat got liberation. So even accidental deity worship can also give you great spiritual benefits. But at the same time, the name is considered particularly powerful of all the different processes. So with faith or without faith, chanting the name of the Lord is very beneficial for the jivas in the material world. And the example of this story of Ajahn Mill is given. So of all the processes of bhakti, the chanting of the name is considered to be the most powerful, although all the processes are glorified. So without faith or with faith can be done. Now, as I mentioned, without faith gives you one result, with faith gives you a higher result. So we cannot say that it's all equal, just chant without faith and that's it. No, higher is the process of having faith, and higher than that is having knowledge and faith and bhakti together, and then we get the role of prema. But in any case, there are effects from the chanting of the name in any case. And even if it is imperfectly done, still there are good effects. So though Ajahn Mill chanted, and he chanted with no faith, he chanted to me his son, he had no faith at all, and at the same time he was doing sinful activities, still it had effect. So the name is very, very powerful. As I said, it destroyed all of his karmas immediately when he uttered the name. This has one condition, however, and that is, if one commits aparadhas, you don't get the same effect. So you cannot say that everybody, by just chanting accidentally once, gets all their karmas removed and then liberated. So people that have aparadhas, they do not get this effect of getting all their karmas destroyed. Still, as it was said in the previous verse, that even those who are aparadhis, even they get effect from chanting the name. But of course it's a much slower process then. So one has aparadhas and one chants, then it becomes a slower process of purification. Still it works. But like chanting accidentally without aparadhas, still you don't get the final effect. You can get rid of all your karmas eventually, but still, you will not get prema siddhi by that. So we have chanting of the name as abhas, aparad, or as abhas, and then we have chanting as abhas with faith, and then we have pure chanting. So of those processes, pure chanting is the process recommended in the scriptures. So pure chanting is like pure bhakti, the same rule applies. We have the definition of pure bhakti given by Rupa Goswami. Same rule applies for the chanting of the name. We chant with the understanding that we are trying to please Krishna. And we don't have desire for liberation or material gain or whatever. That way it's not obstructed by any other process. So that chanting is considered pure chanting of the name. So that even though it looks high, it is available in sadhana bhakti, not just in prema. Pure chanting is not just prema. Sudha bhakti and sudha nam are there in sadhana, provided we get the knowledge and we are sincere in our attempts. So if one does that, one practices sudha nam and sudha bhakti, then quickly one is guaranteed the result of prema. And every other process becomes a much slower process. So, though the name is without qualification and we do not need initiation, etc., we do need knowledge. So we have to get that knowledge from someone. So we do need proper knowledge of scripture, whatever. That is one thing. Then, as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, usually we combine the process of chanting with other processes. An example of what we didn't do that is Pariyasatva, we all chanted the name. That's all. We did not do deity worship. Did not go in the temple, not do the process. Of course, we could say it's in association with Lord Chaitanya and others, and Advaita Acharya. And of course, he listened to the scripture and all that. But he didn't do the deity worship process. So we have the five important processes: hearing, chanting, associating with the devotees living in the holy dham, and deity worship. So of those, Haridasakwa didn't do the deity worship one, he did the others. So though the chanting of the holy name is the principal process, it does not mean we reject the other processes. They all go together. And for chanting we also need association, because we know that's the only way to get knowledge. And that implies that that's how we get pure bhakti, pure knowledge. So we do the other processes. The main process is the sankirtan, or chanting of the name. As regards deity worship, if you want to do deity worship, then you have to take diksha. So that is why diksha is often mentioned. So Rupa Goswami mentions that in the first angas, first 10 angas of bhakti. The second anga is shiksha dikshadi. So one should accept shiksha and diksha, etc. And of course in the Nectar of Instruction again, you find diksha mentioned. So that's particularly there for the deity worship aspect. So with the diksha then you perform deity worship, etc. So this deity worship we should not think of as ritual like this, which gets condemned as Veda. This is actually part of bhakti. So the Pancharatra system, the deity worship, is the archana process mentioned among the 64 angas of bhakti. So it is not the same as the rituals of the Vedas, which are meant for either karma or moksha, or the dharma karma moksha. The deity worship, Pancharatra deity worship, is meant for prema also. So it is an anga of bhakti, one of the five important angas. So often it is combined. So of course Jiva Goswami mentions in Bhakti Sundarva that the Bhagavat Marga is chanting the name and it is independent. That's the main process. And then we have Archana Marga. So why would we follow that? So he says in one place, it is not necessary, but Archana process is followed for rich grihasthas. Because they do have facilities, etc. So they can make a temple, and they have deities, and they have cooking facilities, and they can offer nice things to the deity, and then they can do this archana process nicely. So for rich grihasthas, they can do it. In another place, he says, though name is independent of diksha, diksha is often recommended so that people can engage themselves in
the body and their senses. Of course, then by chanting, we can also engage the mind and the tongue, but we can also engage the hands and the feet, whatever. If we do deity service, to do that, we need diksha. So therefore, diksha is recommended so that people can engage all their senses, and that way become steady also. So it is there as a secondary process to help the process of chanting the holy name. So that is why diksha often is mentioned as well. But we should understand that the main process is the chanting of the name and the knowledge we get from the devotees. That is the main process.
Without diksha, one can go back to one.
I just offer.
But one need a shiksha guru.
Yeah. Shiksha. If diksha is only for devotees who perform deity worship, then why are we when others have to take diksha, as we only need two devotees for deity worship, other devotees, but only what? Chant. Chanting with faith. Now, but it is but the only chance with faith, now without practical service to devotion will be the result, and that we find the way to take service without contempt. So, well, yeah. Why do we have diksha? Why do we emphasize it? Well, that is simply a custom we have in ISKCON, though technically it's not actually correct. And even in Gaudiya Math in general, they take diksha, take diksha. But if we look at Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's not what is stated. Haridas Thakur says, chanting is the Yuga Dharma, chanting is independent of diksha. And it is independent of everything else. But as I said, usually it is recommended that one should also do deity worship and do other things like that. Therefore, people take diksha as well. So in that sense, it is useful.
But in terms of stress management, put on education is, it's like, you know, one cannot really achieve love.
Well, that's also, you know, that's not philosophically correct.
So, which means, it's not just daily worship, but person, he starts identifying himself with somebody's disciple. And
well, you can do that with shiksha also.
And his name changes. And if he's given that, okay,
I'm you can have anybody get an every guest name at birth also. That doesn't do anything to them.
Then the epic meditation, we are also like, it shall exist.
What's that? What?
They know the meditation, then we also take the same thing.
No. They're saying something else. They're saying something else. Diksha means take from Prabhupada. They say, you must take diksha. It's the opposite. Saying, you must take diksha, take from Prabhupada.
Maharaj, in this, our present day, people are less intelligent, and the only cause that they can practice is from Prabhupada. But in previous days, people were more intelligent. They were less enrolled in us. And still,
they also practice bhakti. So the process of meditation is also part of bhakti in Satya Yuga. Those are all bhakti processes. Vishnu is the, when we talk about Treta and Satya and Dwarpa Yuga, they're all also devotional, they're meant for the Supreme Lord. Those processes, they're not karma yoga.
Some people can say that bhakti is meant for a very yoga. So bhakti is only beginning.
Well, it's the beginning and the end. So it's both.
Apradis also have hopes. Huh? Even apradis also have hopes.
Who?
Apradis. Apradis also have hopes. What do you mean? Have hopes. Hope.
Of what?
Yeah. So, but chanting the hope is like chanting
hope
the
hope of what? Material hope.
Yeah. Maybe I need the person. Like, but even if they offensively chant, even if they offense us towards the holy name, they still have hope. In that sense, do mayavadis have hope? They have, they chant the holy name.
Well, the only hope is association of devotees and purification. So there's different types of aparads. So if the aparad is, this is called Pratibimba Nama Bas, which is actually aparad. That is, we chant the name, but we understand that Krishna is not God and he's only a material entity, and my ultimate goal is merging into Brahman. So if I chant like that, then I won't get prema definitely. I may get moksha, but not prema.
Dharmakanda and other sections are a major portion of the Vedas. Is it because most of the people are towards material benefits? So the most of the portion is like that?
Yeah, so in other words, the people in general that we have in the old system, we have, you know, Sudras and Vaishyas and Kshatriyas and Brahmanas and whatever, and most of the people are Kamagun, Sudras. That's a major population. So what to do with them? So therefore we have a system gradually kind of elevating them upwards through the process of Varnashram and Karma, etc.
We find sometimes the great devotees, at the end of the life, they take a position of bhajan, they go to execute the basics in heart and chant. See, because they can chant upon the sleep, sometimes when you change the devotees, we tend to make apraad, knowing you are going to leave. You stay away and chant.
Well, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote that work, you know, about the nirjana bhajana, that people will go away and isolate themselves and chant, but actually their motive is to get fame out of that instead, and to pretend they're a Babaji or something like that. So that also is not good. Of course, it is recommended that one should go to the Dhamma and one should chant, you know, with great intensity that is there. But one cannot reject association, because association is how we get mercy, this is how we advance. So we cannot reject that.
So where are the facilities? Devotees must come together, ideally to come together and do the sadhana.
It depends on the person, of course, and depends on the situation. Sometimes it may be difficult to do, so what can you do in that case? If it is possible, then yes, if they can, if the devotees can give them some good knowledge and you know, good instruction, very good. Well, that's what I said, that the part of the Vedas is flower, but not all of it. If the whole Vedas was ridiculous, then we would reject the Vedas. But we say Sruti Sastra Ninda is an aparad. It's offensive to criticize the Vedas. Huh? Some parts of the Vedas do speak about bhakti, other parts speak about karma. So if you say it's only karma, then that's a mistake. And that those people that do that, those are the ones that are condemned.
One more question is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Yeah, it should be depending on this mantra thing, rules and regulations.
Huh?
Rules and regulations given mantra thing.
Well, it, Ajamil didn't follow. And he got effect. But as I said, if we want to get better effect, then we have to follow some other principles and have knowledge and do other things, favorable, whatever. Ajamil got some effect, but he didn't follow any principles. He was very simple.
Also, he didn't have knowledge.
Yeah, he didn't have anything. So that's a namabhasa. No faith, and namabhasa with no faith. No knowledge, sinful, etc. And he got some effect. But it's not called bhakti. It's not called bhakti. Yeah, so one can do that also. And he's an example of that. And he was perfect, he's a Acharya. Well, no, it doesn't say you have to follow Pancharatra, the whole system, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Pancharatra, etc. All the authorized scriptures you should follow in the process of bhakti. That's all. It doesn't mean you have to follow Pancharatra only, and whatever. It means all of them. So in other words, a bhakti has to be according to the scriptural injunctions, not concocted. That's what it means.
Can you say that even
in
the case of Acharya and Yugari that they were not really initiated, but they got perfected by chanting
the Holy Spirit? Who? Yugari? Yugari, Yugari.
Oh, he doesn't receive our money.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, he and Ajamil
were
not really formally initiated.
Maybe later on, Ajamil was, we don't know, because he went to Haridwar, whatever. Anyway, he was doing bhakti of some sort. And as for regarding the hunter, he was chanting his name. It doesn't say he did any worship either.
But he followed instructions of Ajamil. Can we say that there are examples where one thing, Narada, we follow the instructions of Narada very clearly. Narada instructed him to give up your
Yeah.
The instruction he took,
wholeheartedly. Yeah. Sadhaka being able to do a few chanting of the holy name, this is mainly because of knowledge association.
Knowledge association.
Or we completely forget about this, like the day to the night.
Well, accidental offenses are unavoidable in the material world, so that is not considered very serious.
So intentional ones.
That's the intentional ones.
இதெல்லாம் ஒரு டூப்ளிகேட் இருக்குது. நான் வந்து பயங்கர ஃபீவர், வைரல் ஃபீவர், மூணு நாளா படுத்துருச்சு, மூணு நாள் படுத்துருச்சு, மூணு நாளா. நீங்க வாட்டர் எல்லாம் கொஞ்சம் ப்ராப்பரா, மூணு நாள் படுத்துருச்சு. மூணு நாள் வைரல் ஃபீவர் இருக்கும். இது ஸ்பைன் கிடையாது. ஐ காட் டூ இன்ஜெக்ஷன்ஸ் போட்டுட்டு இப்ப கின்லே வாட்டர் குடிச்சிருக்கேன். அப்படியா? எங்க? எங்க? அப்படியா?